following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO, I forgot who I was for a minute, of Friedman Financial. We're located at 41 Cross Street in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the now starting to stir North Shore Mall and just above the soon to reopen Alto Forno restaurant. It's been an interesting, of course, 3 or 4 months for all of us. I mean, we've all been dealing with the pandemic and finding a way to cope through both our businesses, through our personal lives, through our social lives and everything else. And congratulations to all of us. We've made it thus far, and I'm beginning to see a light at the end of the tunnel, even though some of the news reports are suggesting some scary numbers in some of the states around this country. I think overall, we should be pretty proud of how we're moving through here, especially here in Massachusetts. One of the things that I notice is that, yeah, it's not exciting to see that there were 50,000 new COVID cases or maybe even 60,000 this past week on a particular day. As alarming as that might be, we're going to have more cases when there are more tests. And there are hundreds of thousands of tests that are being administered every single day. And what we did here in the state of Massachusetts, when we had all of the rallies or the protests, or as Governor Baker called them, large gatherings that happened to around this state, and he offered, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, the opportunity for those that attended a large gathering to go for a free COVID test. There were plenty of them available. People rushed to go get them. And so the number of tests that are being done all across this country are certainly going up. And thus, when you test more people, you're going to have more positive cases. Hopefully, we're keeping the serious infection rates down. We're trying to minimize and not put too much pressure on the hospitals. The number of death counts that are coming out of COVID are dropping on a daily basis. Of course, the cumulative number will never drop because we can't pull people back from the dead. That's one of the things that always surprised me. Did you see how high the death number went up again? Well, there's only one direction that the death number is going to go. I mean, I don't mean to be morbid about it or to speak poorly of this whole thing. I mean, this is a really sad situation, but we're not going to have less deaths. I mean, the deaths are going to cumulatively grow. I think that's rather obvious. But here we are this Sunday morning. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I hope you're doing well. I hope you've had a nice 4th of July weekend, which was last weekend. It was actually a beautiful weekend. We've got another hopefully nice weekend. It's been up and down this weekend, but it's warm. And thankfully, because it's warm, we can actually eat outside. And that has been, a blessing in disguise for so many restaurants and really trying to help this economy start to come back to life. People are going back out there. Even some of the restaurants here in Massachusetts, we can open up with indoor seating. I've eaten both ways, to tell you the truth. Everyone always asks, have you eaten out, Mark? And the answer is yes, I've done the takeout thing. Well, I was really good at takeout. I've done the eating out in outdoor restaurants, whether it's in a tent, whether it's just outside on a patio or in a parking lot in some cases. And actually, I've eaten indoors as well and have not really felt uncomfortable in any situation. I think it's interesting how each of the restaurants each adapt to how they want to serve their clients, how they're handling food service, how they're managing through this challenging environment. Because for them, I mean, look, it is not easy to do this work with masks and with gloves and to put on probably twice as many steps as they are. I mean, think about these servers who are having to run not just into the dining area from the kitchen, but now out to the parking lot to the kitchen. It's becoming a bit more challenging, and I think we all need to have a little bit of patience. I think we've been pretty good about it. I don't know if any of you follow some of the Facebook sites. There's the North Shore Eats group or the Merrimack Valley Eats groups. And if you haven't signed up to either one of those, North Shore Eats or Merrimack Valley Eats, or even Wicked Bites Radio that's on Facebook as well, these are all great sites to join to find out what's going on in the restaurant community. Scott Whitley from Wicked Bites, who will be on after me today, will continue to give you some insights about what's going on in the restaurant world. But, you know, you can get an insider's perspective. Sometimes it's an insider's perspective you don't want from some of these patrons, but you get some pictures of what the food looks like, how the restaurants are looking, how the servers are meeting the guidelines. I mean, I know that a lot of folks have been taking a lot of pictures with people's noses peeking out of the top of their masks. I don't know if that makes you feel uncomfortable or comfortable. There are guidelines and we're supposed to follow them, but I'll tell you, everyone's doing the best they can. And it's up to you. It's your personal choice as to whether you want to go out to these restaurants, whether you want to eat in, whether you want to keep it all to you, keep everything going on within your home or getting out there. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. If you're going to be out in public, we don't need to be a jerk about arguing with people who are or aren't wearing a mask. The rule is, or what we're being asked to do, is to wear a mask when we're in enclosed spaces. If you're going to Home Depot, if you're going to Lowe's, if you're going to a restaurant or whatever it might be, please follow the guidelines that the small business is asking you to follow. Don't be a jerk about it. Don't call upon your civil liberty rights to say, well, I don't have to wear a mask. Well, here's the deal, folks. They don't have to serve you. They don't have to patronize you. They don't even have to give you the time of day. They are a small business owner. They have the right to do what they want. And you, if you don't want to wear a mask, have the right to say, I'm not going to patronize them. You can go to social media and say, can you believe this restaurant or this store wouldn't allow me to walk in without a mask? You have the right to do that. But they too have the right to set the guidelines, just like you've seen the signs of no shoes, no shirt, no service, no pets allowed. They're allowed to set those guidelines. We all have to abide by them. Let's all be responsible. Let's all do the very best we can in a very challenging, very difficult situation and make the most of it. But what we're here to do each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 is to try to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. And what may be surprising to you is, despite all the challenges we're seeing in the stock market, I mean, within the stock market, within the economy, within our own life, is the fact that the stock market continues to move upward. And you might be asking yourself, why or how is the stock market moving upward? Well, there were some really nice reports that came out this past week. Did you know that more and more people are now going back to work? Remember those unemployment numbers where we saw that there was 6 million people that applied for unemployment back in the month of March or April, and on a weekly basis, more and more and more people, and we were hitting 30 to 40 million people who were out of work. Well, what we are also seeing now through the months of May and June and into July are many of the people who were out of work are going back to work. The roads are getting busier. The parking lots are becoming more full, though they're not as full as where they were, but people are being employed. The construction industry, people are starting to build. Look what's going on across the street here from my office over at the North Shore Mall. That Lifetime Fitness building is taking shape and very quickly. They put the floors on, it seems like in a week, they are pulling in people to make life happen and make life get back to where it needs to be as soon as possible. You're starting to see the NBA starting to move into their bubble, and hopefully they will be successful in trying to build basketball games. We got the Red Sox coming back to Fenway Park. There's a lot of things that are happening. No, we may not be able to gather in large, enormous groups, but activity is coming to life. Look, the people that are working, if you're going back to Fenway Park, you may not be a fan that's going there, but there's a lot of people that work for the Red Sox that are now back to work. They have to, whether they're working in the locker room, whether they're doing food service, whether they're doing custodial work, whether they're the groundskeepers, whatever it might be, People are going back to work, and the stock market likes that. They're seeing that people are employed, and people are engaged. I'll tell you that. People want this stuff to happen. I don't know about you, but it seems like all day long, all we talk about is masks and COVID and schools, and we're not talking about the stuff that we normally talk about this summer, which is sports. I mean, no one's talking about the Red Sox. Could you believe we're actually speculating and talking about Cam Newton? Cam Newton, who's going to potentially be one of the quarterbacks, may not even be the starting quarterback for the Patriots, but that's what the conversation is right now. I just saw this past week, Eduardo Rodriguez was diagnosed with COVID. He tested positive, and Erod is supposed to be the ace pitcher for the Red Sox. So what are the Red Sox going to do for their rotation? But we're really not talking about that stuff yet until they start playing. All we do is talk about masks and safety and COVID and staying away from those that we have to stay away from. But here we are. Here we are talking about money. And one of the things that has been bothering me over the past, several months, and it's been exacerbated over the past several months, is some of the headlines that we see. And one of those headlines that struck me just wrong was a couple weeks ago. And it was a headline that got shared all throughout social media. And it started on a group called Business Insider. And then it started to just extrapolate all over the place. The headline was this. It said, just over one half of Americans have a job right now. Think about that. Just over one half of Americans have a job right now. Does that mean, as someone said to me, that we have a 50% unemployment rate? No, that's not what that means. But that headline was intended to make you feel like we had a 50% unemployment rate. Half of Americans. When you talk about Americans, you're not talking about working Americans. You're talking about all Americans. Think about all the folks that are over the age of 65 or 70, or just call them retired. They're all Americans. Are they working? Some might be doing some part-time work, but most of them are retired, and they're not working. And they, by the way, represent the largest segment of our population, the boomer generation, many of whom are retired and are not working. So there's that segment. You know who else are Americans? The group that is between the ages of, let's say, well, everybody's American from birth to death, but this group from age 18 to, say, 25, another very large segment of our population. Are they working Americans? Many of them are students, so they're not working. Folks, we're talking about the group in the middle. And then there's the group that's between 25 to 65, and many of them could be A, disabled, B, just have no desire to work. So you have to really structure and understand what that cluster of people looks like. These headlines are designed to shock you. They're designed to make you react. And what you need to do is read further into the story. But if you're like me or like most right now, we're very headline focused. We spend our days on Facebook just scrolling through, looking for a headline that jumps out to us, and then reacting to the headline and not to the story that supports it. We need to be careful. We have a lot of time on our hands these days, it seems, and sometimes the use of our time has not been the smartest. I think we have opportunities right now to take advantage of some skills, and certainly our children who are at home wondering and pondering, will they go back to school? Will they be going back to colleges? What will they be doing while they're at home? Should they just take the summer off and relax and enjoy? I say you take some of that time and you carve it out and you gain some skills. Pick up some skills that you could turn into something that could be job worthy, because what happens if you don't go back to school in the fall? What happens if you were planning to go to college and you were planning to go to, let's say, Penn State or University of Miami or someplace that is a distant from here? And the only way to go to school is remote, and they want you to still pay the full boat, the $35,000, which is the one half semester, the semester of a $70,000 cost. They want you to pay the full boat, and you're not going to go any, and you're going to get an online experience, no social experience. Maybe it makes sense to take a semester off, take some online classes at maybe a local community college, and make some money and use the skills that you've picked up this summer, so that you can be smart, you can be prepared, and you can start being an earner when it comes time to enter the real world. Just some things to think about. I call it financial advice in a language you can understand. I got lots of things that I want to share with you today. I'm going to have a guest join me later in the show. His name is Christian Karcher. Christian has been with me for 3.5 years at Friedman Financial. He is a certified financial planner. He has a whole different perspective on finances, on money, because he's younger. I mean, he's got a whole different view and perspective, and I want to introduce that to you. But when we get back, I want to talk to you about the pyramid of equity returns and interpreting investment performance, because some of this investment performance that you're seeing out there is a little bit misleading. In fact, very misleading. And it may make you make some decisions that you don't want to make in the future. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar.
This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. See, it looks like the mall is starting to open up again, and activity is occurring at some of the outdoor venues and even the inside. You can walk around there a little bit. Food court experience is a little bit different, but check it out. It's worth getting out and about. Just wear your mask when you get out and go inside some of these places. Alto Forno, that's located right below me, is not quite open yet. I know they're doing some facelift work downstairs, and soon I think they're hoping to open around Labor Day. But their sister restaurants, Polana, is open both for lunch and dinner. And Daniela's, which really never shut down, they did do some takeout for a while. They are just booming over at Daniela's, and they've set up a really nice patio area outside and even utilized some of their parking lot to use for some seating as well. So check out those restaurants. No, they do not sponsor this radio show. I just eat there a lot, and so I figured maybe I'll see some of our listeners there. That's really what it comes down to. I don't even get free food. I just like those restaurants. So my name is Mark Friedman. Like I said, I've been doing financial planning since 1991. My father started our firm in 1968. That's a long time ago. That's 52 years ago when Dad started a financial planning and investment management firm, and it's continued to grow, and we've built relationships with individuals and families all across the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area for all of those years. Many generations have passed through this office. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of death. We've also seen a lot of births and a lot of changes and a lot of family structures. And, you know, when you've been doing this a long time, like I said, a death probably once or twice a month is what's going to happen when you've been doing this for 50 years. So think about this. Think about this. If you were married or you knew somebody and they passed away, someone real close to you, and you were the point person who was going to have to make decisions on what to do on the day they died, what would you do and who would you call? Now, that's a question that most people just don't know. Most people say, oh, the will take care of everything. Or, I don't know, I'll just ask my dad or I'll ask someone. Well, usually when someone dies, asking dad or mom isn't the answer because it's mom or dad that died. And so there's not a generation to go up to. You got to go laterally or go downward. So where do you call? One of the things that I take great pride in, and we've taken great pride in, and I think our clients have too, is that our focus has always been on financial planning. We know where everything is and what everything is worth in our clients' lives. That's from everything from their investment accounts to bank accounts to insurance policies to the mortgage on their home to their life insurance, homeowners insurance, the mortgages that they might have, the retirement plans, the social security structures that they have, all of that stuff. We have it all captured for them. And we also know who the beneficiaries are and who the key points of contact would be if something were to happen. And fortunately, many of our clients, especially as they get older, want to introduce us to the people to whom they've entrusted with their net worth, with their life, with their estate when they pass away. Not to keep it all, but to manage it, to be the facilitator, to be that, if you will, the executor, the personal representative, the guardian, the trustee, whatever you want to call it. Depends upon what structure it's all set in. But they utilize a firm like ours as a point of contact because we know that we can provide the guidance that's necessary. So I ask you, as you listen to this radio show, if something were to happen to you today, would the surviving spouse or the surviving child or the surviving heir, whomever that might be, know what to do? Would they know who to call? Or would it just be chaos? You want to try to make things as simple as possible. And, you know, unfortunately, this COVID-19 pandemic has caused a lot of people to reflect and rethink what life will be like if someone were to pass away. If you need us to help you understand that, to walk you through it, to make sure that you have it all understood, or perhaps you need someone to help you organize it all and change the chaos and the clutter of everything and allow someone to crystallize it all and give you some guidance and a resource so that you have a trusted advisor to turn to, we'd love to be that resource. And we're talking to so many people and engaging many people to become clients of the office. If that sounds like you, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And if you want, if you're at the website, you can go to two places there. One is getting to know Friedman Financial. There's a little section on our website that has a drop-down area. You can get to know who we are, how the firm operates, what to expect in a first meeting, all of that stuff. We're very transparent. It's out there so you know what to expect. Secondarily, we also put out a free weekly newsletter. We've been doing this since March, believe this, of 2009. That's when we had the last financial crisis. And we've continued to provide a free weekly newsletter that we write. It goes out every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to the bottom of any page on our website. You can sign up for Planning Pointers. That's our newsletter. You put in your name, your email address. If you want to write a message to us, if you want to send some thoughts about what you think of the show, what you don't like about the show, question you might have, you might want us to reach out to you, whatever it is, you can put it in that box. And if you don't want to say anything, that's okay too. We'd just like to have you added to our list of more than 7,000 subscribers of Planning Pointers. All right, I promised you when we got back that I would talk to you about some of the interpretations of investment performance that are necessary today, because something is remarkably happening in the stock market. People are wondering, why does the stock market appear to keep going up, yet my portfolio doesn't seem to be mirroring what the stock market is doing? And I'll tell you something that's very interesting. Everybody talks about the S&P 500. And if I were to ask you, what's the S&P 500? Some people might say, I have no idea. In fact, if I asked you what the Dow is, you may not know what the Dow consists of, but you will tell me that the Dow is somewhere around 26,000. That's the price of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. If I ask you what the price of the S&P 500 is, you'll probably have no idea what the price of the S&P 500 is, but you will probably know what the S&P 500 is consisted of. So let's try to do a little education here. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is made up, get this, of 30 stocks. And those 30 stocks are what are called the industry leaders in a variety of different sectors. So only 30 stocks. The S&P 500 is made up of, guess how many stocks? 500. That's right, the 500 largest. The 500 largest stocks. But what's interesting, when you come up with the S&P 500 average or even the Dow Jones Industrial Average, You don't simply add up the value of those 30 stocks or those 500 stocks and divide by the number of stocks in the index. Like, you don't take the S&P 500, say, what's the value of all of these 500 stocks divided by 500? That's what must be the average, right? Well, no, the S&P 500 average is based on what's called market weighting. So the bigger your company is, the greater gravitas your firm has to contribute to either the success or the reduction in the index. So let's put this into perspective here. You've all heard of Amazon. Everybody knows what Amazon, and you think Amazon's done pretty well through this pandemic? Well, you better believe it has. Amazon can't even live up to its prime schedule because they're under such demand to deliver so many products. Everybody wants to get something through Amazon. Amazon today is worth a market value of $1.4 trillion. Now, I can't even fathom what $1.4 trillion is to say that's what it's worth. Well, let's put this all into perspective. The government earlier this year set up a program called the PPP program, the Personal Protection Loan Program, that provided loans to businesses. The amount of money that they were willing to lend out to all of the business that were out there first started with a $500 billion loan. And then they said, oh, we ran out of money. Here's a couple hundred million more to push it more like $700 billion. So all of the money that was lent out to small businesses, to large businesses, all of those millions and millions of businesses aren't even, all of that loan money isn't even worth what Amazon is worth. Amazon as a company is worth $1.4 trillion. So let me try to even frame this even better for you. This is what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. The size of Amazon is larger than the following collective companies: all of Walmart, all of Home Depot, all of Costco, all of CVS, all of Target, Best Buy, Kroger, Walgreens, and Lowe's. Not as individual companies, but all of those companies cumulatively added together. You add up the values of all of those companies, and they're still worth less than Amazon. So now let's think about what this means for the S&P 500, because all of those stocks are included in the S&P 500. But if Amazon is so much larger than all those others, when Amazon is going up, and it is this year, so too with the movement of the S&P 500. But if you were an owner of some of these other companies, you may not be seeing such great performance. So I have a chart that we shared this past Thursday on our video town hall at Friedman Financial. We do this every Thursday at 4 o'clock. We show this chart that broke down the size of the S&P 500 companies from the top 10 to the next 11 to 50, 50 to 100, 100 to 150, and so forth and so on. Well, here's the deal. The top 10 companies, top largest companies in the S&P 500 have a total market cap that is tremendous. It's over $1 trillion. And it has year-to-date returns of 9.6%. So year to date, the S&P 500, the S&P top 10 stocks are up 9.6%. The next 11 through 50 have an average return year to date of 2.4%. But then let's talk about all the others. The next 50 to 100, their average return is negative 5.7. The stocks that fall into, let's say, 201 to 250, they're down 9.3%. The stocks in the S&P 500 that are 400 to 450, they're down 22.6%. 451 to 500, they're down 38.5%. So what's really interesting is the S&P 500 for the year is up a couple percentage points. If we look at the whole average, it's up a couple percentage points based on market weighting. But if I took all 500 companies and put in the performance for all 500 of those firms and then divided by 500, you know what the average performance would be of the 500 stocks that trade in the S&P 500 as of the 3rd of July of 2020? Down 11%. So we have to put everything into perspective. Does that mean you should rush in and buy the biggest stocks in the S&P 500? I wouldn't start telling you to do that. I think we have to be rational. We have to be focused. We have to be balanced. We have to create diversification and a well-balanced asset allocation that meets your goals and objectives. That is smart financial planning, not speculating, not being tactical. All right, we got to take a quick break. When I get back, I'm going to invite in a guest into our studio here. It's my one of my colleagues here, Christian Karcher, is going to be joining us. He is a certified financial planner, and he's got some different kind of perspectives on money, on how we manage money here at Friedman Financial, and some thoughts for you to consider. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the now opening and now officially open North Shore Mall, and just above the soon-to-reopen Alto Forno Restaurant. Hope you're doing well. As I promised from the last segment, I have a special guest in studio with me today. He is a colleague of mine at Friedman Financial. His name is Christian Karcher. Christian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you've been on the show once before, haven't you?
I have. I can't remember when it was, but I remember it was nice out when I came to visit. So it was probably about a year ago.
No, all right. So it must have been summertime. It would have been a good time.
Yeah.
Christian, how long have you been with Friedman Financial?
Almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in 2 weeks. So It's been since 2017 now.
And so Christian's, like you said, been with us for 3 years. And why don't you tell our listeners what it is that you do here at Friedman Financial?
So I do a lot of support for Mark and Marion. I help with financial planning projections, and I help kind of do a lot of background research for clients, getting answers to questions and preparing Mark and Marion for their reviews.
Yeah, and we got lots of those. And so, but the reviews have been a little bit different these days, haven't we? Because clients haven't been coming to the office.
Right. We've had to figure out how to present materials via Zoom and different technologies, which has been a bit of a challenge, but also kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's certainly been interesting. So, you know, you're younger than I am.
I am younger than you are.
Yes, you are. In fact, you were supposed to, in fact, get married.
I was supposed to get married, yeah.
No, the wedding wasn't called off, right? But
Well, it was rescheduled.
Yes. So you know, you and Jessica, of course, have had to deal with an ever-changing situation, and I'm sure you can empathize for so many folks that have to see their plans changed.
Right. We certainly have. You know, when this all started back in March, we thought, oh, our June wedding should be fine, and then May came around, and we said, okay, we kind of have to make a decision now. And so we ended up canceling it, and it was probably best we did, because things started picking up back in Wisconsin right around the time we were supposed to have our wedding, which was supposed to be June 13th of this year. So
interesting. I've been telling people about the fact that you actually still went back to Wisconsin.
We did,
in June.
Yeah.
And without the wedding, of course, but you did go back to see the family. You had the plane ticket and everything to go do that.
Yep.
And you had a little bit of a different experience. It was kind of a wake-up call, wasn't it?
Oh, it certainly was. The attitude toward the whole pandemic was very different in the Midwest than it was out here in Boston, where things were a little bit heavier. You know, when we had to fly through Minneapolis because they've canceled all the direct flights to Milwaukee. And when we got off the plane in Minneapolis, people whipped their masks off right away, and you walked past the Buffalo Wild Wings that had everyone sitting at the bar without masks getting drinks. The bartender was running around with their mask around their chin, the mouth out. So it was a big culture shock to go back and to kind of explain to people out there what it is like in Boston right now, and how much more cautious we were being out here.
Yeah, well, it's worked out. In Massachusetts, it seems like the numbers are working in our favor.
It sure has.
And you certainly felt like when you got back here to Boston, I think you felt like, geez, I better quarantine myself because I don't know if I was infected at all.
I feel a lot safer in Boston than I did when I was out there. It kind of felt like the wild, wild west out there.
I think that's interesting that, you know, and people are saying that. I mean, you know, look, a lot of people weren't too happy with the way how Charlie Baker handled this COVID-19 situation and the timing and the phasings of everything reopening. But like you said, you've been out there. You've seen the other part of the world, mm-hmm. and you feel a lot safer here.
Yeah, I definitely do.
So one of the things that, you know, you've seen now because, you know, the wedding was canceled, the honeymoon didn't happen, and like many people who have seen a lot of these events happen, there seems to be more money sitting around in the bank these days.
Yeah, sure is. We've been living off of the refund on our honeymoon to the credit card for a few months now.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, we used to have a terrible savings rate here in America. I think it was, I don't know, 6 or 8%, if that. And now the savings rate just came out at some 30%+ people are savings. What do you think are some of the reasons why the savings rate is so much higher? And how do you think that's contributing to some of our successes here?
Well, I think when you work in financial planning, you realize that a lot of the percentage in your spending ends up happening on big ticket items, right? So travel, replacing furniture, and those types of things people just can't do right now. And so that right there knocks, you know, a couple percent off of your spending rate and increases your savings rate. So I think that's a big part of it. Also, you can't go out to eat, obviously. That eats up a lot of money. So yeah, I mean, personally, I've been saving a ton of money lately, and I know a lot of other people have, as the stats have shown.
We all have, absolutely. And then there's a large segment of our population that has been collecting this pandemic unemployment insurance that's been over and above what the traditional unemployment insurance should be.
Right. I mean, that certainly, if you're used to making $1,000 a month and now you're making an extra, let's call it $600.
A week.
But, yeah. Well, over the course of the year with the unemployment being a little, let's say you're collecting an extra $1,000 and you're used to collecting $1,200. Well, that's pretty good, and that's definitely going to improve your savings rate, even if you go out and spend a little bit extra.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure my people that I've run into aren't on the fringe here. I mean, I'm sure there's millions of people that fall into the same category where they were working part-time jobs, and they were making, let's say, $300 a week, but because of the store closed down, they got to file for unemployment, so they get to collect a check for $150 or so for a week, plus $600.
Yeah.
That's $750 when they were making $300 a week. And so all of these people are getting all of this money, but they have no place to spend it on, unless, of course, they go to Amazon or something.
Right.
So they're accumulating it.
Yep.
And how do you think that's impacting the stock market and our economy and all of that? Do you think that's playing a role?
Well, I think there's a lot of optimism around, okay, so when is this? It's almost like a ticking time bomb, right? It's building up and building up all this savings each month. And people are going to, what we know about people is if people have money, they're going to find a place for it. Not a lot of people are natural savers. And so you save 30% of your income for, let's call it 6 months while we're in this pandemic, and things start turning on. If you've got 6 months of extra savings sitting around, you're going to go out and probably find something. I know personally, me and my fiance are talking about buying some new furniture for our apartment. And we're planning some trips for hopefully when things are all better. But yeah, I think there's a lot of optimism that people will kind of turn that savings on and go and spend some of it when things kind of get back to a new normal.
Yeah. So I'd ask you, as you sit back, maybe you're driving in your car, maybe you're laying in bed this morning, having a cup of coffee, ask yourself, has our bank account grown over the past few months? And if it has, and I'd like to hope that it has for your sake, I'd like you to ask yourself, is this money that I'm saving to spend down the road, or is this becoming a good source of an emergency fund? Maybe you can speak to the value of this emergency fund.
Right. I mean, a big thing that a lot of people in the US do not have is an emergency fund. That's a fund where you can get 3 to 6 months of your spending into an account that you can draw on if something goes wrong. Say you run into a pandemic and you lose your job and you need to be able to cover your expenses for 3 to 6 months. Having that money just sitting in the bank, not doing anything except for sitting there waiting for it to be used in case of an emergency. That's something we always recommend for our clients, and something that not a lot of people in this country really utilize.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have found a greater understanding of the difference between wants and needs.
I think that's right. And I think we've So I was thinking about that today, actually. I was thinking, wow, you know, I've really realized how much bloat there was in my budget. Things that I spent money on that I really didn't need to do, you know, stopping and getting a McFlurry from McDonald's, you know. But then I started thinking about all the things that I have started buying over the course of the pandemic. Like what? And I think this is interesting. So like I got myself a Audible subscription so I could listen to audiobooks while I'm sitting at home doing work, whatever. And so that's a new monthly expense that I have because I have all this extra money right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little concerned now that I'm thinking about it, you know, in when we get back to normal and my bills get back to where they normally were, my spending is what I used to be doing. Am I going to feel a little bit tighter now because I also have that Audible subscription? So I think my bloat has, I've definitely reduced how much I spend and increased my savings, but I think I've started spending on things that I'm gonna have a hard time giving up and will increase my spending in the future, which is an interesting thought.
I think you're right. I mean, everyone's going to approach, they're going to see how their lifestyle has changed. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying, I know you know that I've been enjoying my backyard. I spend a lot of time out there now because I don't have as many meetings to run to. I don't have to drive to meetings anymore. They happen via Zoom. And so I'll be sitting out in my backyard and I'm actually enjoying this peace and quiet. And I too actually have a subscription to Audible. It's been just a very relaxing way to read a book, sit outside, just watch the birds outside or whatever. And it's become a new expense in my life, something that never existed, right, would have never existed prior to this pandemic.
Right.
So I wonder to our listeners, I mean, what expenses do you have? What are some of those new costs that have shown up in your life? And what are some things that you've cut out that you say, you know, I may never return to spending on those things again? We're joined here by Christian Karcher, who's a colleague here in my office. Christian is a certified financial planner and one of the three CFPs that we have in the office. You've heard Marion Gilman, my business partner, many times here on the radio, and Christian supports both Marion and I. And if you have a swing by the office when we do open it up for personal visits by clients again, perhaps you'll get to say hello to Christian. But right now we're operating through Zoom and our technology is working just fine. We've also been doing these video town halls. And I know you've been a regular participant on our video town halls. And any surprises, anything that when you think about the video town halls, the number of people that join us, the questions that get asked, how have you found that as being successful?
Well, I think it's really cool to see how many of our clients come out to watch what they're now dubbing the Mark and Marion show on Thursday afternoon.
Who would have ever thought that?
it's really wonderful that they're so interested in hearing your guys' perspective about all things. And it's not just the financial things that I think it's interesting. You're getting a lot of questions about, you know, when can we hug our grandkids and stuff like that. And so you've brought in specialists who have kind of better answers than our own layman opinions. But I think it's really interesting and great how much we're able to interact with our clients and let them know kind of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, just because we don't see them doesn't mean that we don't care about them. And we're trying to reach out in every possible way. We have 500 households that we serve at Friedman Financial, and we've been doing this since 1968. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, feel free to give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or you can visit our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We've got to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to keep Christian around here. I want to ask him about his perspective on some of these youngsters that are now getting into the investing game. It seems like every college kid, every Gen Xer, Gen Zer, I think, is trying to beat the market. And we're going to talk to you about some of this stuff we're hearing about. That and more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Make the money, don't let the money make you change the game, don't let the game change you. I'll forever remain faithful. All my people stay true.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Once you're a rich girl, and you're going too far.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. We are actually finally getting back to being in the office. We're doing it on a temporary basis, kind of a balance basis, a work-life balance basis, I guess we can call it. We are working from the office on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, working from home on Mondays and Fridays, but still not seeing clients in the office yet. We want to still be safe. We want to be responsible. We are able to visit with our clients via Zoom, via conference calls, internet, email, all that kind of stuff. And it's been a great way to stay in touch. But also staying in touch with us is the fact that we can connect with our employees in a variety of different ways. And so joining us today, this Sunday, is one of our employees, been with us almost 3 years, Christian Karcher, who is a certified financial planner here at Friedman Financial. And Christian, thanks for joining us.
No problem. It's great to be here.
Well, you provided a lot of great information in this segment before. You had all sorts of perspectives on spending and money and everything. But, you know, you've seen something, this phenomenon that's happened over the past few months, and I've been kind of seeing it as well, but you probably see it even more than I do, is a lot of younger folks who have always talked about wanting to invest, but for the most part, were just building up money in cash. They really weren't investing, but now they've started to venture into doing some serious speculative type investing. What are you seeing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this kind of goes back to the last segment, right? We've all got a kind of higher savings rate, and so there's a lot of young people with extra disposable income right now. And some people are trying to find something to do, right? And, you know, sports are off. So some people have started transitioning to looking at, okay, so how do I get involved in the stock market? And I think a lot of people are approaching it in the wrong way. But there's a lot of apps out there that are making it super easy to get involved in the stock market. And so you download an app and you've got an account right there. You just transfer some money. You can do it all on your phone very quickly. The problem that I'm seeing is a lot of younger people have not educated themselves on the topic of investing, and it has turned into more of a speculative game, right? They're playing with the most aggressive investments they possibly can. They're kind of going all or nothing. It's really more gambling than it is even speculating or investing, but that's something that is going on right now with a lot of younger people, and it is reminiscent of what we saw during the dot-com bubble, right? Where people were buying all these crazy stocks and they weren't doing any sort of analysis on these companies, figuring out what
it didn't matter whether the company was making money. It was just a cool company.
Right. Or it's, I've heard this name before, I'm going to buy some. So that is going on right now.
But it's interesting that now people can use there's all sorts of these stock trading apps that are out there, and you can buy what's called buy the slice. Or you don't have to buy, like, you know, there's a stock that might be out there selling for $1,000 a share. And who has $1,000 and who wants to buy one share of something at $1,000? But now with these apps, people can buy a fraction of a share, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in some cases it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, especially when you have Amazon trading at $3,000+. If you're a young person just starting out, saving $100 a month, even if you're doing it responsibly and you say, I want to buy some Amazon, you say, okay, well, that'll be 3 years before I'm able to buy one share of Amazon.
Right.
So it makes sense that you can buy it by the slice, but it does allow people to get a little bit wild with what they're doing.
But so what they're doing now is they say, all right, I get a little taste and I make a little money, and then they start going even more aggressive in their investment styles.
That's right. And these apps are offering things that are very complicated, more than just buying a single stock, but buying options on stocks, you know, like people get for compensation, where you can buy a stock at a certain price. But when you buy these things, you can spend $100 on an option. There's a chance that when that option expires, you've got nothing left. It's zero. So they're really going all or nothing. They're buying these things and hoping that they get big, and it's really gambling. It's, you know, you could probably head down to Encore and get about equal odds on Red.
So, you know, you probably read the story. It was last week or the week before about this kid who tried to trade options, and he looked at his app and he was down almost $700,000. And so he stepped in front of a train and killed himself. I mean, how do you even do that? I mean, how do you structure something like that? How do you put yourself in that kind of a situation?
Well, and there's a lot of questions as to how someone who, you know, was a high school graduate in college, didn't really have an income, had access to that much leverage in their portfolio. And that's just how these things seem to operate. And it adds a definitely large layer of risk onto.
Yeah, and what it also adds is a layer of fear. And in order to, I think all of us know, certainly those of us that are older, that are preparing for retirement, many of us are thinking, geez, I only wish I started saving sooner. Mm-hmm. If I knew, if I had the skills, if I had the tools, if someone gave me the proper guidance. So now you've got some of these youngsters that are trying to play with these speculative stocks, and they're not investing.
Right.
They're trading. They're speculating. Yeah. And if they have some bad experiences, they may be spooked, right, so much so that they will give up on investing for years to come and could miss out on some of the most important years of their life to allow compounding to really happen.
Yeah, that's one of my greatest fears with it. I mean, there's definitely a lot of great lessons you can learn by starting doing something that you don't actually know what you're doing and losing some money. I mean, if you lose $100 on a trade when you're 18 and realize, oh, I shouldn't be investing like this, that's a great lesson to learn and you can take it forward. But if you do something, lose a bunch of money and say, you know, this is all just rigged, this is what investing is. It's just speculating. I'm not getting involved in that. It can really set a lot of people back. And that's my biggest concern with these types of things, is that a huge portion of young people will be put off to investing if something goes wrong in the upcoming months. If the market pulls back and people lose their shirts on these apps and think, I'm not doing this anymore, and just kind of check out.
So what are a few pieces of advice that you would give to somebody in their 20s and their early 30s as they begin thinking about their financial future? What are some good things that they should think about doing with
money? Well, I think number one is just saving any amount of money, right? So even if it's $50 a month, some people say, well, if I can't max out my Roth IRA and save $6,500 into a Roth IRA each year, why should I even start? So saving any amount of money starts, and then investing it in something, okay, and making sure you stick to whatever you're investing in.
So now, when you say investing in something, are you investing in a stock, in a mutual fund? What do you find is the best way for somebody to invest?
I think particularly for when you're just starting out, using a broad-based mutual fund or ETF that invests in a lot of different companies.
What's an ETF for our listeners?
So an ETF is an exchange-traded fund. It's essentially just a collection of a bunch of stocks. And so like the S&P 500, you hear the S&P 500 went up 2%, the ETF would also go up 2%.
There's a corresponding ETF for the S&P 500.
That is correct.
Yes.
So if you're looking to just start off, buy something like that and just stick to it and hold it for a very long time. As you continue to invest, you'll learn more about, okay, do I need to have international or do I need, but the real thing with allocation is just sticking to an allocation that is what you're investing in, sticking with it, and making small adjustments along the way if things have changed.
But sticking to it and continuing to invest in good times and bad.
That's right. I mean, one of the many things that these people did on these apps when the market was going down was people said, I'm going to buy an ETF that does three times the opposite of the S&P 500. So if the S&P 500 goes down 1%, my thing will go up 3%. So when things turned around, they got really hammered because
they did three times as poorly.
So sticking with something and not jumping in and out of things like that will serve you much better in the long term.
Yeah, that plays really well on television shows, on sound bites, on TikTok videos and Instagram posts. But in real life, you need to be thoughtful. You need to be rational, especially during emotional times. Mm-hmm. And I know many people are faced with 401ks. They have them right now. And some employers, because of this pandemic, have said, you know what? I don't know if we can afford the company match anymore. And we've heard from some young folks that say, well, if my company's not going to match, should I still participate in the 401k plan? What's your advice?
Well, that's kind of like cutting off your nose to save the face, right? So, I mean, if the company's not matching, that means you should be putting more into the 401k, if anything. The savings rate on is how much you're putting into that 401k. You should be saving between 10 and 15% of your income. And if your employer is not forking up that 2% or whatever that they match, well, you should probably make up for that, because the only person who's going to be paying for not having that money put into the 401k is you in 40 years.
Yeah, someone once told me that let's assume your tax bracket is the 20% tax bracket. Where can you go to get an immediate 20% return on your money on cash? And at first I didn't quite get it. So think about this. Remember, when you put money into a 401k, you're doing it on a pre-tax basis. So if you're making $1,000 a week, and you say, okay, I'm going to put 10% of my pay in, $100 of my pay into my 401k, that's $100 that you didn't have to pay tax on. So if you wanted to take that $100 for yourself, rather than putting it into the 401k plan, you would have walked away with $80 in your hand. But by putting it into the 401k plan, you got to keep 20% more. You made an instant 20% return on your money, even if you chose cash as your investment option in the 401k plan. Mm-hmm. You just have to stick to it. You can't let the headlines manage that for you. You have to be disciplined. And that's one of the things that we do at Friedman Financial, is try to provide that rational voice during emotional times. We've got to wrap up in a couple minutes, Christian, but any final thoughts or any words of wisdom that you might have from the years you've been here, and you see so many clients and some mistakes people make, or some of the good things that they do, any pieces of advice you might want to throw out here?
Yeah, the people who are successful and have great retirements are the people who invested boringly and invested slowly.
Wow, it sounds like the advice of an old man, but you're in your 20s.
Well, I'm the old man in the office, so.
But you're absolutely right. Boring investing, as long as you're picking the right collection of you're picking the right portfolio that aligns with your risk tolerance, that you continue to invest, that you stick to it, that you don't overspend, that you save more than you spend, mm-hmm. and you don't build up too much debt, but you work to pay off the good debt that you might accumulate as well. Those are all great steps in achieving success. Just a reminder to all of our listeners, each and every Friday, we put out a newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox at 10:30. If you want to get that newsletter that close to 7,000 people get every single Friday, go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on our website, any page on the website, and you will be able to put in your name, your email address, and you can leave us a message, a note, anything that you might like. The other thing that I'd encourage you to do is to visit the website and hit on the tab that says New Client Information. If you hit on that tab, that will be able to tell you everything that we do at Friedman Financial, how we manage the relationships with clients, what you can expect from an initial consultation, what you might expect during a review meeting. Because I'll tell you, one of the things that I've learned is that there's a lot of people out there that offer great financial advice, and they try to get you to become a client, and then they move on to find more clients. The success is the fact that you continue to provide ongoing service to your clients for a lifetime. It's one of the reasons why we have a 99% retention rate at Friedman Financial. It's a reason why so many folks here in the community on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area refer their friends, neighbors, relatives to us. And I think the other thing that's important is the fact that we're just there for you. I won't even get too much into it because I know I've got to take a quick break. Actually, we got to end the show and we got to get to Scott Whitley. So thanks for tuning in. Christian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.